Those are some powerful words. And words can create things. Words can change things. Hallelujah. And God's given us that ability. Well, last week, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus chapter 24. We began a series called Following God's Divine Pattern for Your Life. How many know that God's got a pattern, a design, a plan just for you? And when you do what he says to do, it will be a success. Amen? It will work, and it will not fail, and it will not make you ashamed. The devil can throw everything at you, but if you do what God tells you to do, he cannot move you. He cannot shake you. Well, what do you say? What if I end up in the fire? Well, just talk with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and see how they made it through the fire. Talk about Paul, who spent a night and a day in the deep. He made it through the floods, but he was not overwhelmed. Amen? And so we want to follow God's divine pattern for our life, for our church, our family, amen? There's a pattern for everything, for your marriage, for your career. You know, you're not just here taking up space. You're not just here existing, living on barely get-along street next to Grumble Alley. That's not God's design for you. He's got great things in store for you. Say this, say, God's got great things in store for me. And when you follow his pattern or his design, you're going to be okay. You'll be like the cream that always rises to the top. And we'll get to Exodus here in just a minute, but I want to read something to you from Hebrews 8:5. It says, "But these offer service merely as a pattern and as a foreshadowing of what has its true existence and reality in the heavenly sanctuary. For when Moses was about to erect the tabernacle, he was warned by God, saying, 'See to it that you make it all or exactly according to the copy or the model which was shown to you on the mountain.'" So we want to follow this divine pattern. And we began talking about the tabernacle. And we're going to get into it a little bit more this week. But, you know, God has a divine pattern. Hebrews 9:9 tells us that the first tabernacle was a picture of the real one. You know, did you know that there's a tabernacle that exists in heaven? Amen? And God gave instructions to Moses to build what he saw, what was in heaven on earth. Because God wants his will done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. And isn't that what Jesus came to do? When Jesus walked on the scene, he made this statement often. He said, "The kingdom of God is at hand," didn't he? Well, when something is at hand, what does that mean? It's close, it's near. You don't have to go too far. So Jesus came to demonstrate to us how to live in his kingdom. And he lived in earth according to kingdom principles, and he was a success, wasn't he? And the pattern for his life on earth was only 33 and a half years, but he fulfilled every detail of the pattern that God had designed for him. He did what he was created to do. So don't judge yourself if you're not here or there, if you're not like this person or that person. You're not to judge yourself. The other person is not your pattern. God is your example. Jesus is your example. Don't look to other people. I always used to think that I wish I could sing. Well, It wouldn't be a blessing if I sang to you. Let's just put it that way. My sister got the singing voice, and I got the preaching voice. And my other sister got the artistic side. So we want to follow this pattern. And, you know, God gave Moses the sanctuary. And let's look at Exodus chapter 24. All right. And let's look at verse 1. And I'm reading from the Amplified. God said to Moses, come up. You know, where's your help going to come from? He says, look up, your redemption draws nigh. So Moses was invited. The Lord said, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of Israel's elders, and worship at a distance. Moses alone shall come near the Lord. Because, why? Because the others didn't believe. They didn't have a relationship with the Lord to the level that Moses did. Okay? So they only got to go part way, but they didn't get to go all the way. How many want to go all the way? Amen? God's inviting each one of you to come up tonight. Come up from where you are. Come up higher. Dream bigger. Amen? Expand your vision. Think better of yourself. Forget the past negative words that were spoken over you. We break that in Jesus' name. We break the negativity that the devil has shot at you. And all those arrows have to fall to the ground. They're rendered useless and ineffective. You might as well just say to the enemy, that was just from the Lord. So whoever needed that, just receive it. So Moses alone shall come up near the Lord. The others shall not come near, and neither shall the people come up with him. Verse 3, Moses came and told the people all that the Lord had said and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. How many know they were just blowing smoke? Because when it really came down to it, they didn't live up to that. Okay? And then verse 9. I'll read from King James now. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. Say they saw. Uh-huh. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his cleanness or clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. So interesting, they saw God and ate and drank. And then verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me. See, that's where you've got to go. If you want to get the design and plan for your life, you've got to go to him. He is the source. He is the master architect. And he already has a plan laid out for you. And he's just waiting for you to fill in the pieces. He's already got the photograph. He already has the picture. Amen? He looked at Gideon, and he didn't see Gideon for what he was. He said, oh, mighty man of valor. He looked at Gideon for what he knew he could be, what he had designed him to be. He designed Gideon to be a mighty man of valor, to lead his people, and to be a deliverer. But Gideon didn't see himself that until the Lord came into his presence and said, oh, mighty man of valor. Why does God speak words to you so that you get the picture? Because words form pictures, don't they? When you read about the scripture, when you read in the scriptures, do you think of yourself about what you're reading? Do you think of yourself as more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus? Do you think of yourself as being able to do all? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, you've got to make the word personal. You've got to take ownership of every word of God, because it's about you. And when you take ownership of it, it'll take root in your heart, and you'll become what you say when you say what he said. You'll become what you say when you say what he said. You'll also become what you get in agreement with the devil about. Oh, really? Yeah, works both ways. So you want to, if you want good treasure to come out of your heart, you got to put good treasure in, amen? And I'm really trying to get to the tabernacle. We're getting there. So the Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mountain and be there. And I will give you tables of stone, which the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses rose up with Joshua, his attendant, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, tarry here for us until we come back to you. Remember, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a cause, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. One day may not be enough for you to get the plan that you need. Oh, I spent a day with the Lord. He didn't give me nothing. I don't know about this stuff, really. We might just want to hang in there a little bit. You know, God is looking for people who will endure. Amen? You can't be impatient and receive what you need to receive from God. Because isn't patience a fruit that we need to develop? James tells us, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse trials and temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work. Some of us quit too early, and patience didn't get to complete the job. So on the seventh day, God spoke to Moses. He was just enjoying himself in the presence of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord appeared to the Israelites like a devouring fire on top of the mountain. Moses entered into the midst of the cloud and went up to the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and nights. Do you realize that God gave John, who wrote the book of Revelation, the same invitation in Revelation 4? He said, come up and I will show you things. Amen. You know, if you want to see things, you got to get where he is. You got to get into his presence. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Did you know that each one of us can come into his presence because of the blood of Jesus? You've been given access, and you have an open invitation to come before the throne of grace anytime you need. Any day, any hour, doesn't matter. You have that availability. Amen? So, let's go to chapter 25, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites that they take for me an offering from every man who gives it willingly and ungrudgingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. This is the offering you shall receive from them. And he lists all the stuff. And then verse 8 says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That's what God wants to do. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to dwell with you. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. Before he came on the cross, we couldn't. Only the high priest could go into the very presence of God. But when Jesus was on that cross and our debt was paid, that veil was rent in two, and now we can have access. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can come into his presence. So God wanted to make a sanctuary, and I want you to notice that he never asked of what they didn't have, did he? God will never ask you what you don't have. But what you do have, he may ask you for what you have. And when you give it to him freely and ungrudgingly, he will bless you and he will use it to build his kingdom. Amen? So, God wanted Moses to build a sanctuary, a dwelling place. That word, to dwell, means to tabernacle. That's where we get the name of the tabernacle. And we know that in the tabernacle that Moses built, according to the plan and the design and the pattern that God showed him, God would come down and dwell in the tabernacle. And Moses would speak to God face to face as a man talks to his friend. Moses learned how to tabernacle with God. And that's what God wants to do. The only difference is you and I are the temple now. All right? So, we're going to go over some things of the tabernacle. I'm not going to go in order. All right? So there's the tabernacle. And notice, in order to get into that tabernacle, how many entrances are there? There's only one entrance at the east gate. How many ways are there to heaven? Only one. You can't climb up the wall. You can't come in the back door. You can only go in one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if any man comes to the Father, you must go through me. You can't get there through Allah. You can't get there through Buddha. You can't get there through Hare Krishna. You can only get there through Jesus. There's only one entrance. Okay? And with inside the walls is called the courtyard. And we're going to find that the closer you get to the presence of the Lord, the more precious things become. The first item you see there is the bronze altar, or the altar of sacrifice. There they would bring in the bull, the lambs, and everything that was slain had to go to the altar. All right? And it represents the cross. And we're going to get into this here in just a little bit. The next item you see is the laver. That's where the priests would wash themselves. It represents sanctification, renewal, and regeneration. And the word of God, where husbands are told to wash their wives with the washing of the water of the word. And it brings cleansing. It washes you. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Then the next thing you see, and it's actually open to see, to allow you to see the contents, that is the holy place. And there were two parts to the holy place. There was the holy place, which was, you go into the first curtain, but then within that, there was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, that's the most sacred place where you would enter into the presence of God. Okay? And aren't you glad you get a visual? All right? Now, let's look at some of the contents of the tabernacle. Like I said, I'm not giving you these in order. All right? When we're done with this study, I'll break it down in order for you. But first of all, I want to look at the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? The Ark of the Covenant. See if you can pull up the Ark. There it was. Back up. Okay, that's the Ark of the Covenant. This was a wooden box that was covered in gold in and out, which contained the commandments, a pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Did you know that the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels? Did you know that you and I are the earthen vessels that contain the treasure of God? It contains the most precious thing, which is the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. You are an earthen vessel. I am an earthen vessel, and we contain the treasure of God in us. All right? Now, it represents God's dwelling place. All right? And it's a copy of what was actually in heaven. And the altar was made of bronze. But when you got into the Holy of Holies, things were made out of gold. The closer you get to the presence of the Lord, the more precious it becomes, the more valuable, the more costly. You want to go further in God? It's going to cost you some things. It's going to cost you some things. And you got to ask yourself, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price to get what you need from God? Oh, but I thought it was free. It's free, but there's a price to pay of your time, of your energy, of your investments, of yourself. The closer you get to God, the less of you. Amen? Now, the top of this ark is called the mercy seat. Did you know it was the mercy seat that Jesus took his blood into heaven and presented it before the Father? On the mercy seat. And there you have the two cherubims with their wings touching. That's known as the mercy seat. You know what the mercy seat does? It covers. Okay? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're looking at the tabernacle because it was the pattern that God gave to Moses, and you and I are represented, we're representative of the tabernacle because God wants to dwell in us. He doesn't dwell in the tent anymore. Once the Holy Spirit was poured out, once Jesus finished, everybody that puts their faith in Christ Jesus can have the presence of God dwelling in them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have from God a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Here indeed, in this we sigh and groan inwardly, because we yearn to be clothed over, to put on our celestial body like a garment, to be fitted out with our heavenly dwelling, so that by putting it on, we may be found naked. Yeah, we may not be found naked. Thank you. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being, King James says, that we would not be unclothed, but clothed. Verse 5, now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That earnest is the down payment. Because how many know that you're going to upgrade your house? The Bible says that this corruption will put on incorruption. And we're going to be just like Jesus when he appeared after he rose from the dead. So it was the mercy seat where God met with Israel. Go to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. And look at verse 42. This is what he says about the tabernacle. He said, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation at the door of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you and speak there to you. So the whole thing about the tabernacle is having communion with God, or communication or intimacy with God. All right? So Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you'll find that even though God gave the design and the pattern to Moses and he wrote it down in the Old Testament, it still applies because it's a picture of something real. The tabernacle that Moses built is just like a shadow. It points to the real thing. All right? And every utensil, every item, every article speaks of Jesus. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And I mentioned this earlier, but here's the scripture. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God and not of us, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know, Jesus said something else in Romans. He said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, what's he going to do? He's going to quicken or make alive your mortal body. Did you know that when you're weary, when you're tired, and you begin to pray and get in the presence of God, he will energize and strengthen you? You know that when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon Samson, he would do great feats of strength. Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he outran chariots. When the presence of the Lord gets on you, you can do supernatural things. All right? Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Talking about the mercy seat. It's a covering. Look at verse 12. Hatred stirs up contention, but love covers all transgression. You know what happened at the mercy seat? We receive forgiveness. Why do you think God says his mercies are new every morning? Every morning, you can put your transgressions under the love. You can let love cover everything you've done wrong, your past mistakes, your faults, your shortcomings. The love of God covers. Hatred stirs it up, but love covers it. When we see one of our brothers and sisters fall, we shouldn't be exposing it. We should be covering it. Because love covers, just like that mercy seat covers the contents of the ark. It covers. God covers. His love covers us. We can hide under the shadow of his wing. We can hide under his wings. We can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. His shadow can cover us. He can look out for us. That's what the mercy seat does. It covers. Look at 17. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. Does God ever bring up your past? You know, when he rose from the dead, he never talked about his crucifixion because he had a new nature. When he met Peter on the shore, he never said, Peter, do you remember when you denied me? He said, Peter, do you love me? What was he doing? love was covering that transgression. He was showing him mercy. Whew. Mercy is powerful. You know, we're supposed to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Did you know that if you hold on to someone's sin, it'll be held on to? But if you forgive it, it'll be forgiven? We have that power, yes. Read John chapter 20. And Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of grace that we might, what? Obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So you obtain mercy by coming before the throne, which is the mercy seat. Aren't you glad that you can come before the mercy seat? Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And I want you to notice that everything about the tabernacle, everything had a particular function. Everything had a place. Nothing was to be out of place. Nothing was to be mishandled. It had to be done according to the word of God. Do you know that if someone who was not qualified to touch the ark, they would be killed instantly? There was only certain people in Moses' day that could go before the ark, but not today. Amen? Not today, because Jesus made a way for us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And Peter is quoting Proverbs. He said, "And above all things..." Say, above all things. "Have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins." People, how are people going to know we are Christians? By how much we speak in tongues? By how many scriptures we quote? By flexing our spiritual muscles? How do they know that we are Christians? By our love for one another. Our love. Love, did you know that if you walk in love, you fulfill the law? The Bible says God is love. And in heaven, He sits on the throne, and there's a mercy seat there. And He's ready to give mercy. You know, He'll give mercy before He brings judgment. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Why? Because I want to show mercy before I bring judgment. He'll always give people an opportunity to change and to repent before judgment comes, because that's the kind of God we serve. But He'll bring judgment if He has to, but He'll always bring mercy first. He'll always give people an opportunity to repent. Look at what He did for Pharaoh. Pharaoh came into power and he said, "I don't even know the God of Joseph. My gosh, if you didn't know who Joseph was in Egypt, you were dumb. I'm sure that there were books written about Joseph and what he did and how he saved the nation and how he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And this, he came from the prison, you know, he probably had a book deal with an Egyptian publisher, you know. They probably gave him a good sign-on bonus because they knew his story would sell. And the Pharaoh who comes into power says, I don't even know this Joseph you're talking about. Where was he? He was in a bubble or something. But why did God send Moses there every day? 10 plagues. 10 plagues later, he finally softens his heart a little bit. But he had to lose so many things before he would soften his heart. That's the mercy of God. He gave Pharaoh, who was hard, time after time after time to change. Guess what? Why don't we cut each other some slack? Amen? Make an allowance for people. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So we got to make allowances for one another. Amen? That means you got to give people space to mess up, because we will. That's why we have to be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Amen? Why? Because there's a mercy seat in heaven. And it's because of his mercy. You know, he didn't have to die on the cross. He didn't have to take our place, but he did. Salvation is a gift. So that was the ark of the covenant. And then let me just get into it. Pull up the showbread, the table of showbread. That's the table with the loaves of bread, 12 loaves of bread. Yeah, okay. It had 12 loaves of bread, representing one for each tribe of Israel. Okay? It was also made of the same wood that the ark was, and it was covered in pure gold, and it represented the presence of God. And the Levites would always bake fresh bread and put it on there, and then when they were going to replace this bread, then the priests would eat the bread. And Jesus said, "I am the true bread that was sent down from heaven." John chapter 6 talks about he's the bread of life. And bread, it gives sustenance, it gives life. He gave them bread every day in the wilderness called manna. He provided for their needs. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know that you need to get God's word fresh every day? Don't try to live on stale manna. Oh yeah, Pastor, I remember that scripture 5 years ago. Man, I really walked in that scripture. Well, you know, 5 years ago is a long time. It's time you get some fresh bread, some fresh revelation, fresh vision, fresh insight. Amen. God's not stale. There's one thing about God is he's not stale. He's not an old stuff. He's not an old, he's not a person that just is mundane. He's not mediocre. He never gets stale. Why? You could read John 3:16 100 times and each time get something new and fresh about it. Why? Because one thing is the word is alive. We should never get to the point where we can't stand hearing a scripture over and over and over again. Not unless you've arrived. If you've arrived, well then, hey, then what are you still doing here if you've arrived, huh? But the showbread, there were 12 loaves in two rows, and it represented Israel. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 through 10. And the bread speaks of God's provision and eternal presence. And it was in the holy place, it was off to the side. It was opposite of the lamp that we will get into next week. But my point in this, I want you to see the pattern. God did not leave a detail out. He never left something without a purpose and a function. Your little toe has a purpose on your body. If you don't believe me, just take it off and see if it doesn't affect you for a little bit. Every one of us is important and to God. Each one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have a function, you have a place, you have gifts that God has given specifically to you. And when you use your gifts, when you give it to the body, the multitudes will be fed. You know how God had to feed the multitudes? He had to break the bread into fragments, and he dispersed the fragments out. Man, don't think that what you have is too little. If you think that, just ask the boy who brought his fish dinner for lunch. That wasn't too little, was it? Look at what God did with a couple of pieces of fish and bread from Long John Silver's. He fed the multitude. Okay? So, we are going to look at this pattern. And what I want you to see is I want you to see that God has a plan for your life, just like he had a plan for this tabernacle. Just like he had a plan for Abraham and Moses and Daniel and David and Isaac and Jacob and Ruth and Esther. And if you just follow God's pattern for you, that means you're going to have to commune with God to get his pattern for you. I'm telling you, following God's pattern for your life will bring the greatest joy you've ever known. It'll eliminate frustration. And when trouble arises, it'll keep you steady because you know that God's placed you there. And God's got a pattern for this church. He's got a pattern for your family. And if we just follow that pattern, just like Moses did, he built what God showed him, and it worked. And there were different people assigned for different things, and everybody did their thing, and it went smooth. Amen? I'm done for tonight. Well, I'm not done. I'm just stopping. So we will rest here. We will say loud right now. And I want you to have a blessed night. And I want you to take some time this week and get before God and see what he has for you on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, yearly basis, and find out God's got it for you. He's not going to withhold it. He wants to show you. He wants to fill you with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and understanding, so that you can walk in it. But you gotta go after it. You gotta talk with him about it. Amen? Don't get other people's opinion. Ask Joseph. Sometimes you just can't ask people's opinion about what God showed me that you're going to bow to me. Oh, really? No, we're going to kill you. See, now God showed that to Joseph. He didn't say, go tell it to your brothers, but he did. Sometimes there are certain people you cannot tell. Amen? Until the Lord says, okay, tell them. You might just have to show them. Like when God told Gideon, I want you to destroy the altar, he had to do it at night because he was afraid of the people. He said, well, I'll do it at night. That way they won't know who did it. You know, that was smart. So God bless you. Have a good night.